Well, have you enjoyed the worship service so far? I trust that you have been touched and blessed already. Thank you so much. I know that Cassandra worship team and choir went above and beyond the call of duty, if you will. And didn't they do a great job with a patriotic celebration? And of course, most importantly, a tribute to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I couldn't help but think as my family passes me, red, white, and blue. Pretty cool. Anyway, getting back to the focus. All right. You know, as we think of what we have celebrated so far and have certainly taken some time to celebrate the freedom that we have in our nation, reminded that we use symbols, right, to remind us of those important principles of freedom, for example. I look to the back. And there's banners that are reminding us of the freedom that we have. And of course, most importantly, the freedom that we have in Christ. Don't have to turn too far to look and see to the left and to the right. And of course, behind me that there's flags, right? And the flags is a symbol of the freedom. And in front we have the symbol of the flags of the armed forces, right? Those who serve to give us freedom. And then behind me, to my right, and of course to your left, is Old Glory, right? And so it's the flag that reminds us of the freedom that we enjoy and experience as citizens of this great land. There's one symbol that stands out even more to me, which once again symbolizes the freedom that one has when they come to this nation, and that's the Statue of Liberty. It has already been referenced by way of music, but one of the things that's significant about the Statue of Liberty is that at the base of that statue is broken shackles. And it's to demonstrate and welcome those that were coming from overseas and were arriving in New York, and specifically Ellis Island, that they were now able to break the bondage and the shackles of wherever they are coming from and would experience political freedom. We're reminded that not all the citizens experienced that freedom for some time, but it was the Emancipation Proclamation, right, that gave the rest of our citizens the freedom that we all enjoy. And so there's a lot of symbolism that takes place to remind us of the freedom that we have in our nation. But as far as Jesus Christ, we're reminded that there's no greater symbol than the symbol of the cross, right? That provides us spiritual freedom. There's a wonderful hymn of the faith that talks about the old rugged cross. And that certainly in its day and time, it was a symbol of shame. It was a symbol of suffering. It was a symbol of a curse. But as that song goes on to say, we cherish, right, that old rugged cross for what it means for us. Because what it means for us is that Jesus Christ, who went to that cross, right, provided spiritual freedom for us, broke the shackles, the bondage of sin for those that repent of their sin and place their faith in Jesus Christ. And we're reminded that because of the sacrifice of Christ on that cross, He provides spiritual salvation, spiritual freedom for us. And we're reminded that it is He, and as He identified Himself when He was here on this earthly ministry, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And He identified as Himself as the way to the Father, as the way to spiritual freedom. But He emphasized the truth. Now I'm here to tell you, based on the Word of God, that the truth shall set you free. So we're going to talk about that this morning. The truth shall set us free. We'll look at several other verses that establish this principle this morning. And once again, as followers of Jesus Christ, we're reminded that Jesus is the truth. We're reminded that we live in a world today that certainly will identify with their truth. I was reminded of a conversation that I heard just recently of how many people embrace their own truth, right? My truth, your truth, whatever it may be. But none of that matters because it's all our opinions, right? It's the only truth that matters is the actual truth. And Jesus, who identified Himself as the way, the truth, and the life, is a truth that we hold on to because it's a truth that will set mankind free. So I invite you to go with me as we go through some scriptural statements of how the truth can set us free this morning or in our life. Now, first of all, notice this, that the truth provides salvation. The truth provides salvation. It's Colossians chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. That explains and discusses the great truth that it's through faith that we have hope, which gives us hope for this life and the life to come. Heaven is our future. It is the thing that we hope for in the future because of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ reminds us that we are provided redemption through Jesus Christ. His shed blood on the cross provides for the remission of our sins. And so it was that we're reminded that Jesus Christ, who had come to the earth to live a sinless life, to provide salvation for our souls. John 1 verse 14 reminds us, it gives us a window of what was taking place when it goes on to say, and the Word, referring to Jesus, the very Son of God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He provided salvation. The very Son of God provides truth. And we're reminded as we reflect upon the very Son of God that He is a reflection of the Heavenly Father. Remember when Jesus was here in His earthly ministry, what did He say? If you have seen Me, you have seen the Father. He reveals truth to us through the Son of God providing salvation for our souls. It is this free gift of salvation for those who believe on Jesus which can experience, yes, redemption, also specifically justification, which can give us eternal life. Now this term justification, as we have shared before, it's this idea of a legal standing that one has. For example, if we were to go in the courtroom of heaven, if you will, that just like one experiences in the courtrooms here on earth, that there is two determinations that will be made at the end of the case. Are you guilty or are you innocent? Are you going to jail or receive some type of penalty, or are you going to be free? And that's exactly the idea in the context that we have when we think of justification based on what Christ did for us. Apart from Christ, we will go into the courtroom of heaven, if you will, and stand before a holy and righteous God, guilty because we are coming and standing in our sin. For the wages of sin is death. Therefore, based on the Word of God, if you come before God at the courtroom, if you will, at the judgment, if you will, that you come before Him and one is judged for their sin, for the wages of sin is death. And so the person that comes before a holy and righteous God stands before Him and is judged according to that, standing in their sin and is punished for their sins. And the Bible says that ultimately that person, according to the Word of God, the truth is this, that they will be cast into the lake of fire. Reminded that because of the Son of God and the salvation that He provides for us, that when we enter in the courtroom of heaven, if you will, at the judgment seat of Christ, which is described in the Word of God, the followers of Christ will stand before, once again, a holy and righteous God. But instead of standing before Him in our sins, oh no, we stand before Him through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our advocate. Jesus is also the judge. And what we see is that the follower of Jesus Christ is pardoned and declared innocent because of their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. If you receive this truth, it will set you free. Once again, Jesus described Himself during His earthly ministry as the way, the truth, and the life. It provides for salvation and eternal life. John chapter 6, verses 22 through 23 goes on to describe this a little bit further. It goes on to say this, But now, having been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin, as we just referenced, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so certainly it's the truth through the Son of God that provides salvation for our souls. Also, secondly, this morning I want to demonstrate how the truth also provides for the Spirit of God. When we're saying Spirit of God, we are referencing the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And so we see that not only is there a gift of salvation for those who place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, but He literally gives of Himself, if you will, being the third person of the Trinity. The Spirit of God is also a gift to the follower of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, verses 12 through 13 speaks about this truth. It goes on to say this, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It is the Spirit of God who has drawn you to the Lord. It is the Spirit of God who has sealed you to the day of redemption and secured your soul forevermore. And it is the Spirit of God who has given to us as a gift to guide us through this life that we live. John 16, verse 13 goes on to say, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, this is referencing Jesus remarking the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God specifically, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak in His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. And so it is that the Spirit of God is the gift of God that He has given to us, the person of the Holy Spirit, who will guide us, who will direct us in this life, and has sealed us to the life to come in heaven forevermore. Thirdly, the truth is provided by the sword of the Spirit. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 reminds us that this is an offensive weapon. It is a sword of spirit which is referencing the Word of God. Everything else in that description in Ephesians chapter 6 is a defensive mechanism, armor to protect oneself. It is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, that goes on the offensive. I'm reminded of a story that a professor told us many years ago. And this professor had been invited, and he didn't really want to go, but felt it was his duty to go to visit a lady who was in the hospital. The only problem was that she was reported to be demon-possessed. And so she went into that hospital, he went to the hospital to minister to this lady. And so as he was ministered, she continued to repeat a phrase over and over again. Oh, there's five knives in this room. There's five knives in this room, repeatedly, constantly. Everybody's trying to wonder what in the world is going on. What is she talking about? Certainly because of her condition, they didn't want to have anything sharp around her. And so there was no five physical knives around her. But listen to this. That this professor, Dr. Dave Early, came to understand what she was referring to. Because as he looked around the room and was observing, once again, there was no physical knives that were present. But what he noticed is those five Bibles that were in that room. And so out of her spiritual condition, she is crying out that there's knives in this room, but she's not talking about the physical realm. She's referencing the spiritual realm. We're reminded that Scripture references the power of the Word of God. Hebrews 4, verse 12 reminds us, for the Word of God is living and is powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Do we value the power found in the Word of God? Jesus Himself said, heaven and earth will pass away. But He referred to the Word being eternal. Reminded that it is the Word of God that He has blessed and is the inspired Word of God that He uses to change and to transform lives. It's the Word of God that is His love letter to us that shows us how much God loves us. It's the Word of God that provides the way to heaven and a way to a relationship with the very God of the universe. It's the Word of God that guides us and directs us and gives us a compass for our life, defining what truth is in this world. And so it is that the truth is found in the Word of God. It is effective and it will do its or God's purpose in our lives and in the lives of others. I love what 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13 references about this truth. It goes on to say this, and 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13. For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believed. The Word of God will not return void. It is effective. It can change and transform lives. Another principle about the truth from God is that the truth is provided for the believer to be sanctified. And so it is that truth reveals salvation to us through the Son of God. But that is just the beginning process, if you will, in our life. He also calls on the believer to be sanctified. What does this mean? It is the process of God's grace by which the believer is separated from sin and dedicated to God's righteousness. Once again, this is accomplished by the Word of God working in and through our lives, revealing the impurities within our life. It is also revealed, once again, by the Spirit of God, who draws us to holiness and empowers us to have victory over sin. All of this takes place in this process of sanctification. As followers of Jesus Christ, we need to be reminded that we are called to holiness. We live in a world today where many strive to be worldly. In fact, I was having a wonderful conversation with my twin brother just this past week, who was going to go to the passage he's going to preach today, about an hour, their time, about worldliness. And that's where we're at in our country. That's where we're at, unfortunately, many times within the church, is that we are worldly. But as that passage references that he is going to reference, we are to not love the world, neither the things that are in the world, but we are to love God. John 17, verses 17 through 19 gives us a little bit of revelation of this important principle of sanctification. I remind you that John chapter 17 records Jesus praying to the Father. Remember, as He's in the Garden of Gethsemane and He's pouring out His heart to the Lord. And what does He pray? Well, one of the things that He prays is for His disciples and all those who would come to Him in later years who would be future disciples. By the way, that's you and me, who are followers of Jesus Christ in our day and time. Listen to the prayer that Jesus is praying to the Father in that intense moment of prayer. Once again at the Garden of Gethsemane, right before He is arrested and taken off to be judged, later crucified. Here we are in the prayer. In John chapter 17, specifically verse 17 through 19, this is a prayer from Jesus to the Father, and this is what He says. He goes on to say this, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, and they also may be sanctified by the truth. The Lord desires for us to be sanctified, set apart from sin, sanctified to holiness and righteousness, as we then go into the world to present the gospel to a lost and hurting world. For people that are under the bondage of sin, who need for the truth to set them free. So this morning we have seen through Scripture that truth provides salvation. That's where it begins. Truth provides the Spirit of God, the gift of God, and He's given of Himself the person of God through the third person of the Holy Spirit. Truth is also provided by the Word of God. Truth is provided for those who are believers and are sanctified by His truth. And then finally, fifth point this morning, is that truth is provided as we are able to make a stand by God's strength and by His power. Galatians 5, verse 1, goes on to describe what this looks like. Goes on to say, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free." And we stand firm and we stand fast on our relationship with Jesus Christ, on the cornerstone of the foundation of our faith. We rely on Him to help us to make a stand, for without Him we are hopeless. Without Him we will fail. But with Him we are guaranteed through victory. Thanks be to God, right? Who gives us once again the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we rely on Him. We stand fast. And Ephesians 6 verse 14, to borrow from a passage we referenced a little bit earlier, it goes on to remind us that we are to stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having been put on the breastplate of righteousness. Once again, as God's people, we're reminded that we are to stand for truth and for what honors God. We live in a world today, and which we just mentioned, that there is many sinful and wicked things that are taking place in the world, and unfortunately even within the community, and certainly within the community of believers, within churches. And so we're reminded that we stand for truth. We do truth in love, but we do stand for truth. As God's people, we are reminded that when we stand for truth, it will honor the Lord. You might be persecuted. You might be betrayed. You might be ostracized by everybody around you. But if you honor the Lord and stand for truth and what is right, He will honor and He will bless you. In conclusion, I want to reference a wonderful, great patriotic hymn, but is also one of the great hymns of the faith, which is Battle Hymn of the Republic. It's written by Julia Ward Howe so many years ago. But listen simply to the first verse of this wonderful hymn referenced as the Battle Hymn of the Republic. It goes on to say, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of His terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on." See, God revealed truth to us. When He was here in His earthly ministry, He was the essence and identity of truth, saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He continues to shine light on the truth. And He is truth for this time and also for all eternity. His truth is marching on. So, first question I have for you this morning, have you embraced and received the truth of God, which is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ? We're reminded, as we referenced some moments ago, that in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus had referenced Himself as the way, the truth, and the life. And he went on to say this, that no man, no one comes to the Father except through me. One of the things that will be said within the world today is that there is many ways to heaven. Can I just say this? That is a lie from the spiritual enemy. And it will send many people to hell, ultimately to the lake of fire, to be cast into the lake of fire forever. But my dear friends, have good news for you today. Maybe for the first time, you have heard this message that points you to the truth, that points you to salvation. And maybe clearly for the first time, maybe you're understanding that the only way to truth and the only way to experience heaven is with a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, anyone should boast. So part of our invitation to you is to embrace and receive that truth. If you've never done that today, cry to the Lord. Receive His forgiveness. Believe in Jesus Christ and that He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day according to Scripture. And if you'll do that, the Bible says, repent and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So we want to offer that invitation, which is not our invitation. It's the invitation of Almighty God to come to Him through faith in Jesus Christ. Won't you embrace that truth? God is no respecter of persons. He is not partial, but He offers that salvation to anyone who will call upon His name. And the Bible says if you'll do so, you will be saved. As we approach this time of invitation in just a moment, it is open for you if you never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Come to Him today. Have your life changed completely and your eternal destiny forever changed as you find a relationship with the Son of God, which provides salvation and a home in heaven with the Lord forever and ever. Second point of invitation is to us who are followers of Jesus Christ. We have been freed from sin. That's what the Bible says. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, as we have often already referenced throughout this service. So we have been freed from sin. We are set free to walk in truth and to live for Him. But as another passage describes, do not be entangled in the yoke of bondage again. Sometimes believers have a habit of going back to their old habits and lifestyles. If that is the case for you today, I just want to remind you that the Lord wants to restore you to that fellowship that He has desires for you to have. Be sanctified. Pursue holiness. Be holy as He is holy as you seek after Him. He desires, as His followers of Jesus Christ, to live a lifestyle of walking in truth. As 3 John 1, verses 2 through 4 references. This is a passage that was talking of from the Apostle John, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to young believers, but it has application to all believers. Listen to the words that are found in 3 John, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, as instructs us as believers to live a lifestyle based on walking with the truth. Goes on to say, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That is the Apostle John referencing. But I can say based on the Word of God that there is no greater joy that our Lord has when we walk in truth and live by His truth and follow His truth and are a light that shines to His truth so all the lost and hurting world can see that He is Lord, that He will set the captive free. The truth shall set one free. Let us pray. Father, we prepare for this time of invitation, O Lord. We thank You, O Father, for the principles found in the Word of God that we rely on and that we hold to and that we count as absolute truth. Thank You, O Lord, for revealing Your truths to us in the Word of God. We thank You, O Lord, that You sent Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth, fully God, who became fully man, so that the world could see what truth looks like and the way to a relationship with God and a way to heaven. We thank You, O Father, for the salvation that is provided by the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who frees us from the bondage of sin. But it is a gift, and You have offered it to everyone. If there is one here that has never received that free gift of salvation, during this time of invitation, as we know, the Lord is knocking on their heart. May they open up their heart to You and respond and receive the great gift of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. We do pray. But we also, Lord, as followers of Jesus Christ all throughout this congregation, respond to Your direction, Your calling, and Your conviction in our lives. Help each and every one of us who have been given that great gift of salvation to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to sanctify us, to draw us to holiness, and to draw us to righteousness, for You know that's our that is Your desire for our lives. So we pray, O Father, that we as followers of God, children of the Most High God, will walk in truth and live righteously in a wicked, wicked world, we do pray. Now, O Father, as we now go to this point of invitation, help us, O Lord, to respond in obedience to what You are calling us to do. This we do pray. May Your blessing be upon Your invitation. May You receive all the honor and glory for the responses and the decisions that are made right here and right now to impact eternity. This we do pray. In Jesus' name, amen.